AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life. Here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Money 2.0. This show was brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine here in Silicon Valley. We are wishing you and hoping that you had a great Thanksgiving and that everyone stayed safe and distant, which is really weird for Thanksgiving and the holidays, because we like to touch. Even if you're not a touchy-feely person, you want to feel touch. You know, we haven't touched. So thank you for tuning into tonight's radio show. We appreciate your listening. Casting here from Silicon Valley, Bay Area, and around the world on AM 1220 KDOW, iHeartRadio, and online streaming. If you'd like to stream live, you can always go out to our website, kdow.biz, and listen live. If you want to dial into the show, you can dial in at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220, and get your questions and comments on the air always with me. So you've heard me talk about, during this pandemic, it's just so much going on for small businesses. You've heard me talk about 41% of African-American businesses have either closed permanently or temporarily. And as we continue to, and now that we're on a new lockdown, a new kind of a, I don't know if mandate would really be the right word, but the coronavirus cases have spiked over the last couple of weeks, and we got a new mandate throughout the country, actually, on the 16th of this month to, we've seen more closures, of course, restaurants, restaurant dining went away, and some of the retail places and those that can have people, the percentage has dropped again. Houses of worship are asked to close as well. And so, and I thought we learned some things. I think I'm a bit of an optimist, and I thought we learned some things about the closures that we've had, that we've learned how to keep people safe. And I really like to say this publicly that I haven't said, and that I and what I've been seeing is that I'm not convinced that our new cases are really, and we're seeing a, I've seen a little bit of data come out about this. I'd like to see more information, but I'm not really convinced that we are, the new cases are because people are dining in indoor dining or going to retail. And I say that because we work with so many businesses. I work with so many businesses, and they are really bending over backwards, our business community, bending over backwards to ensure that if you enter their place, their establishment, that they're keeping you safe. And what we're hearing, and I tend to lean towards this thought, is that social gatherings, parties, and that you may have heard of the COVID parties, which I just don't even get. That's a whole nother animal. But these sorts of gatherings are, and with the holidays, we've had Halloween, and we're having, you know, Thanksgiving and Black Friday, which is more online, happy shopping there. But these social gatherings, but it impacts businesses, and it certainly impacts the small business community. And for the African-American community, the longer, because they are the hardest hit areas and tend to have the highest coronavirus numbers, the thought is that the longer they're closed, the more likely they are to stay closed. And if that weren't enough, even if they were able to get idle and PPP resources, most businesses across the board have spent those dollars. And we're looking for more dollars to hopefully come down the pike, but that remains to be seen. So the lending disparities for African American businesses, oh, we've talked about that there is a lending disparity, and there was a lending disparity prior to COVID-19. That's just the reality. And how do we change those dynamics? And I've been in many, many safe space, peaceful protests, and all kinds of online forums that have been fantastic. I've had an opportunity to be participate in a forum as an attendee with some really great leaders, African American leaders around the United States that are dialoguing about where we're at as a country today and really building. We want to build all businesses, but and we want a fair opportunity to develop and run our businesses, and that means that lending has to be part of that. The growth has to be that. Education has to be part of that. The system, and we hear the system. We need to fix the system. Well, the system isn't broken. The system is designed the way that it's designed to support what I would say is the Caucasian market, the male. Even when our system was developed, even for white females, it was not for them, and that's just the reality. And so do we need to fix the system, or do we just need to develop a new system that is inclusive, equitable, equality across the board? And if we are able to dive in and really create something that is an opportunity for all to compete on an even playing field, I think that would be great for our country, period. And if we are able to solve this with the African American community, it is the belief, and it is also my belief, that it would be a doorway and a gate open for all racial groups. Women were not always allowed to vote because the system was designed that way. It wasn't broken, it just wasn't designed that way. And so it had to be challenged. And so we're challenging a very old system. And so I have a guest on my show today who has really worked hard at getting his business off the ground and getting resources where he can, and an African-American business owner, who is what I would say, this is the story of many African Americans, and I want him to share his story. He was recently featured in the Silicon Valley Business Journal. You may have a business journal in your city. The Business Journal is all over the country, and we are in the Silicon Valley. And his story was, in fact, they did really kind of two different articles. Why lending to Black-owned businesses is a big issue, and in the driver's seat, Terre Carter. And Terre Carter is the CEO, founder of T.M. Carter Company, LLC, and Next Generation Driveaway is a generational trucking company that Terre Carter continues in the legacy of his grandfather, his late grandfather, who really put in his heart the love for trucking, and his late grandfather, known as JC. At the end of his career, he had developed a company, a trucking company, that had a fleet of 10 different types of trucks with well over 5 million miles of safe driving for over 52 years. And that he is standing on the shoulders of his grandfather, and he has had a very interesting life, along with trucking, being a football player, NFL coach for Stanford, and now he's living the dream in his heart. And so, before we go to a commercial break, we've got about 2 minutes. Ture, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited, and I'm just really grateful.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you agreed to come on. You have had an experience with getting this company off the ground, and you have faced many of the roadblocks that some believe aren't there. What would you say to that before we go to a commercial break? As a Black man in business, you're in the trucking company, trucking business, which is not overpopulated by Blacks in business overall. So what would you say to that, that your challenges are not real?
Well, they are real. But what I would say is that, you know, all my life I've been faced with a lot of different processes and obstacles and challenges. And, you know, you never know why you go through the things that you go through until you get a little older. And for me, I just started to fall in love with challenges and processes. And I love the challenge behind it. And it gives me some sort of a rush when it comes to just proving people wrong, or just installing the belief in myself and all the core values that my grandfather instilled within me. So I would say, you know, to a lot of the listeners and for me and my story, persistence and grit is the key to success.
Right. Awesome. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, more with Ture Carter. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge, and Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
We are back. And love the music coming in. Thank you, my producer. I have a fantastic producer. We're talking to Ture Carter, who is a Silicon Valley Black-owned male business, trucking company, talking to us about his experience. And just kind of put this in perspective, this is what the research shows in terms of the reduction in active businesses by race and ethnicity. For the Asian-owned businesses, it's about 26% down. 26% of businesses closures or temporarily closed. 41% of Black-owned businesses closed or temporarily closed. Female-owned, 25% closed or temporarily closed. Immigrant-owned, 36%. Latinx-owned, 32%. And then white-owned, 17%. So white-owned is the least impacted in COVID-19 and during this pandemic, and we can see the trends throughout all of the other businesses impacted by COVID-19. And there's reasons for that, right? So let's talk, let's bring Ture back in and just kind of, Ture, share with us your experience during this pandemic. Do you find that there's a disparity between your ability to get lending or get opportunities? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been very hard just because there's so much red tape involved with getting lending. And when I first started this business a year and a half ago, it took some time for me to really get over the loss of my grandfather, because there were so many questions that went unasked just from father to son. It was just a lot of things. It seemed like it was a lot of ground that had to be covered. And when you go in with an idea, you start from scratch, and you have to ask questions, and you have to go and contact all the leads that you get from going to the various meetings or events that the city and the state or different agencies put on, just so you can grab a business card to go and find out who do you need to talk to secure funding. And you know, one of the things that was prominent in my journey was okay, how's your credit score, right? And my personal credit score is great, but there's the other credit score about business credit score. And so right. I had to find out what that is. Then there was, you know, how much do you have down? And it was like, well, I don't have much down because I'm a startup. I don't have any lucrative pockets. I didn't have anything passed down, you know, from my predecessor, my grandfather or anything like that. And, you know, it just promoted a challenge because you were getting bounced around. And then you go to the loopholes of, you know, there's a list of vendors, but there's only a select few in the area. So then you try to go outside the area and they don't really lend to companies that are not within their region or jurisdiction or city or zip code. So it just seemed like it was just an ongoing deal to get funding. And then along with that, there's all the paperwork that you have to have in place, you know, your business plan. Some people don't ask for business plans. Some people do. And if they do, they want it a certain way. Then it's like your financials and projections and 1 year projections. So it's just like a lot of questions that I feel, you know, you just have to be prepared for that you don't know until you cross that bridge.
Right. Now, this, everything that you just said, someone could look at that and say, well, that's par for the course of opening a business. Why are you, what's the problem? And do you think that your challenges, do you think any of it had to do with the color of your skin and being a Black male in America? Or is it just the challenges that any new business would face? Or both?
Yeah, to that question, I would say it's both. Just being on that side of the fence where I'm actually walking to the realm of both. I never give excuses for anything as to the reason why not or why I did. And so I'm not a person who comes up with excuse because I believe in hard work. I believe in persistence and I believe in grit, like I said earlier. But when it comes to certain things, you can't help but to think that as a African-American male in America, you're always stereotyped just from the outside looking in. And then, you know, really your skin color is reflected on the paper because of the things that you don't have. And then when you look at that as a step further, you got to look at, like, a lot of us are not looking for a handout. We're just looking for a hand up. And there's a big difference. Right. And I feel like you don't get a chance to even express that when you're starting from the bottom because, you know, you're X'd out just from what's on paper. Sometimes it could be, and that's the thing. It's like, no one really taught me how to do this business. Like my grandfather, you got to remember he's from South Carolina and he dropped out of the eighth grade and he was trying to escape the racial barriers that he faced as an African-American man growing up in the South. So he moved up north to Ohio to escape that. His family had a better life. Because Ohio at the time was a little bit more liberal, but they still faced a lot of, you know, just networking issues and just trying to establish. But, you know, heading into the 60s and 70s where things were starting to get a little better, and then going into the 80s, you know, and then the drug epidemic happened and the alcohol and all those other things happened. You got to figure he wasn't educated on how to do things because he still had that mentality and he still was faced with those barriers. So if he barely knew, then how can he pass that information on to me? And then if I'm going to college and I'm trying to learn, because you're taught always to go to college and get a degree, right? Get an education, but you're never taught from our perspective of what to get a degree in because we never had the opportunity to explore those other options. And right. So it just carries on. It's almost like that. I'm not going to say curse. I'm not going to say that, but it's almost like that systemic oppression that just stayed within our family for so long to where someone like myself decided to say, you know what, there's more to life, right? There's more to wealth. There's more to society than just going to get an education. You got to be more methodical with your thoughts and with your dreams. And so when you get somebody that's stepping out and doing that, we're starting all over, but we're a little ahead of the curve because now we can gather the information, the resources are available to us. But when we get to that point, it just seems like both play a part, right? Racism plays a part. The systemic oppression plays a part. But then also the other side of things of that's just standard of just vetting all of the people who want to get into business. Yes, you have to learn some things, but let's just face it. When you go back to the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, you know, people who were starting businesses that were non of African American descent, they were already taught that, right? They were already taught that from either their parents who owned all the land, who owned all the things. And so what we got was a lot of just secondhand information of just watching or trying to ask without getting in trouble. So that's how I see things, you know, and it's like I'm not using the racial thing as a excuse, but it does play a part in certain instances, especially when you're a business like mine who has a passion for the trucking industry, right? It spans beyond just me. It's so much bigger than me.
This is really great talk right here. And it's real talk. We've got to go to a commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to dig a little bit deeper. Got a little bit more, a few more questions for you. I'd like to talk a little bit about your NFL career in Stanford. When we come back, more with Teray Carter. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
We're back. We're heading into our third segment here. It has been fantastic. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Teray Carter, who is owns a trucking company in Silicon Valley, African American male, and just telling us his experience during the pandemic, pre-pandemic. We'll talk to him a little bit about post-pandemic. And we're looking forward to that, especially with the really excited about the work that Pfizer is doing, and I think it's Moderna. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. I'll have to look that up. But in any case, we're looking forward to a vaccine that can help get us back to normal. But I would say until then, we might be like this until next summer sometime. So get back to as much normal as possible and keep people safe in doing that, even though you might have a perspective on that, but just keep in mind that we're impacting those around us as well. So please stay safe and healthy out there. Teray, you just really, I think, framed everything so well about what really is impacting your experience as a business owner, as a Black male business owner. I've been talking about that we need to reestablish the Black Wall Street, and I call it Black Wall Street 2.0 in and around the nation in every major city. And really, like you shared in the last segment, slavery, the plantation, the house, the everything was owned by whites. And so we didn't get the same information and education that their kids were getting and passing down to generation, generation, generation. We're still catching up. And I subscribe to the fact that everyone has great, wonderful destiny on their lives, regardless of their skin color. I think we're majoring on the minors, and that if we would just allow people to live their full God-given potential, then we would be a lot further on this planet and probably solve some of the major issues that the world faces with cancer and with AIDS. And there's so much more to focus on. Even in space, you know, we could have so many more questions, I think, answered across the board, technologies and manufacturing and all those sorts of things. So I've got about a minute. What would you share with other Black business owners out there before we go to a commercial break?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the things that makes our opportunity greater is the ability to come together. Because I think we're so angry by all the disparities and the systemic oppression that when we do get an opportunity to speak out, we speak out, and it's not of good character. And I think those are some of the things that I've learned just over my journey, is to maintain a humble heart, but at the same time, approach everything with fortitude. And I think there's a difference between fortitude and being angry or aggression, to where you disrespect the industry. And, you know, just speaking on, you know, my passion that I have for trucking, you know, my grandfather was very passionate on his truck. As a matter of fact, here's how he passed away. In 2016, I was coaching at Stanford, and we were preparing to play Oregon State at Stanford. And I get a call Thursday morning, which is normally our day to walk through and prepare for battle on Saturday before we travel. And I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning that, you know, my granddad was struck by a transportation van crossing the street at 5 in the morning in Ohio. And he was driving his truck at 72 years old. And so, you know, he was passionate. He knew the roads in and out. And it's little things like that that, you know, it's so hard to swallow, because my grandfather never knew the business sense. He knew how to provide a service, how to drive a truck, how to take care of his truck, and how to network within a network that is filled with a certain population. But he knew how to maneuver. He knew how to operate. Did he know the nuances of cash flow management? No. Did he understand the knowledge of taxes and how to write stuff off? No. Did he know how to save money? No. Right? And so now my family was just stuck with learning how to do all that. So what I would say to everybody is the best way is to come together, to put people at the table who get it, who understands and has a passion for humanity, and it's bigger than just making money, right? It's about a lifestyle to prevent mental health. There's so many factors. There's breaking that bondage that we've been in for years with negative thoughts, and providing more opportunity. So it can go on, and I'm happy to elaborate on it, but for the sake of time, it's just, this is all the things that I think about.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got to go to a commercial break. Powerful, powerful. When we come back, Small Business Concierge segment, and we'll talk a little bit more and dig down a little bit deeper. AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, Small Business Concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, Women in Business Centerfold, Small Business Science Lab, Bridging the Gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Small Business Concierge segment of the show. It's always a great segment of the show because we're talking small business. We're talking Small Business Concierge magazine, and we are working on our end of the year magazine, and we'll get that out, and excited about that. We've got some changes to the magazine in terms of how you can get a membership, an Advantage Guide membership, and advertising space in the magazine. We're kind of flipping things around a little bit because we really believe that small businesses during this pandemic, you really need exposure. You really need content marketing. You really need digital marketing. You really need an opportunity to advertise without large investments. And we're doing that, and we're doing it with issue.com. It's a platform. If you have not been on there, go check it out. They get 100 million unique visitors a month. We are in the top tiers as a small business magazine, and which means that we get a lot of readership, which is fantastic, all over the world. And so we just wanted to add some additional value to the magazine for small businesses and those that are selling to small businesses. And hopefully there's some adjustments that's happening with some of these great companies like Salesforce, QuickBooks, Live Plans, Palo Alto Software, all of these different companies and banks that are doing business with small businesses, that there's resources for you and opportunities to be a contributor. And those come with some other things that we think about. We don't just make anyone a contributor. There has to be some weight and value behind what your business is doing, and that we see that you are functioning well and you're really a thought leader in your industry. So please go out to our website, smallbusinessconcierge.biz. Check out what we have. We're going to do a huge launch. We're kind of still getting some things in place, but those particular Advantage memberships are available, the Micro Business Concierge, the Small Business Corporate Concierge, and the Women in Business Concierge for nominal dollars per month. With each one of those buckets have a ad space for you, either a half page ad space, full page ad space, or two third vertical ad space, along with getting that free. If you're doing events, if you have information that you want to put on the calendar, it is absolutely no additional cost. YouTube, we connect to YouTube videos, all of this. So we're really trying to come up with some creative ways to help you put your business out there, voice what you're doing. We've got a lot of small businesses in the magazine, in the listing. You could see the concierge guide, and we're trying to help someone. We're trying to help businesses. And if you don't want to participate in our magazine, you can certainly participate in Forbes for about $64,000 for one page ad for 1 month. So I've met Steve Forbes, and it's up there. So this magazine is a voice for small businesses. You're the readers, you're the thought leaders, you're the writers, and you're the advertisers. And so that's, I do it because I have a passion, like Teray was talking about, is a passion for truck driving. It's a passion for being on the road like his grandfather. I have a passion to make sure that people know that you're there. And so anyway, here we go. I got two minutes. So much going on in this show. Teray, you are doing so much in the arena of truck driving, but can you tell us a little bit about your Stanford coaching and your NFL experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, you know, my experience, I didn't have like a typical NFL career where I made tons of money and had success and won a Super Bowl, but you know, I was able to experience it. And it was kind of like my first glimpse at rejection, at its finest. Now, I've been rejected by being stereotyped in my neighborhood in Cleveland, Ohio, by being pulled over or harassed by my peers, my own people in my neighborhood, as well as police officers. But really getting rejected by the NFL because I didn't have the name or the clout or went to the top school, but looked at more so for not being looked at more so for my talent and my work ethic was really devastating. And so going from, you know, having a shot at the NFL to very shortly living that one and going to the Arena Football League and getting my first glimpse at professional football at its finest, with experience and all the bells and whistles that come with it, you know, fans and TV and endorsements and, you know, all the things that comes with being a professional athlete. I always had a keen sense to pay attention to like the other things, you know, right, how people get along in a locker room, you know, how, right, does people react with all the different personalities? How does the coach get men, African-American men mixed with Samoan men and all kinds of ethnicities in one locker room to play on one accord to, right, win a championship ultimately? How is that, right, done? So I started finding myself getting wrapped up into the mental side of things.
Right. I've got to jump in. I got to get us to a commercial break. Hold that thought. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up with Teray Carter, AM 1220 KDOW Business and the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We are at the bottom of our show. And again, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and you're enjoying all of those fantastic leftovers. And you did a lot of fist bumps and kept your social distancing as much as possible. Stay safe out there during this holiday season. We're wrapping it up with Teray Carter, who, again, is the CEO and founder of TM Carter. And this is a trucking company here in Silicon Valley. And Teray, we just have a few minutes before we're out of here. And I want you to tell us briefly, we've got pre-pandemic, pandemic of your experience, pre-pandemic, pandemic. What are you looking forward to post-pandemic for your company?
I'm most looking forward to continue to grow. Continuing to network, continue to hire diverse drivers. I'm currently looking for, you know, women drivers, male drivers of all ethnicities, particularly, you know, African-American. But really looking to create, continue to build our culture of excellence, which are some of the things I learned coaching at Stanford University. And really, you know, building a business that has a strong foundation to be able to really make an economical impact and to show Primes and other companies and everyone that, you know, we're here to work together for the betterment of everything, our community. You know, I have this quote, this saying, making progress in our communities is something that I always try to do with inspiration, inspiring the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely fantastic. And Teray, how can people get connected to you? You're hiring. How do they get connected to you?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can visit me at both of my websites. You know, that's probably the most favorable. I have an email on there. My website is www.tmcartercompany.com. And then the other website is www.nxtgendriveaway.com. And just simply filling out a contact form, and I'll respond to you shortly. You could also call me at my 1-800 number. It's 1-800. I forgot my 1-800 number. my 1-800 number is 484-2384. And you know, I'll be happy to respond and talk more. And you know, we have a link on there where, you know, people can apply for positions, and then I'll respond and we can exchange my personal email and personal information thereafter.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So let's make sure we've got the 800 number right, since you didn't remember it. Is that 800-484-2384?
Yes.
All right, so we got 800-484-2384 if you want an opportunity with Teray Carter and working with his company. There's a pathway to that. I think that's fantastic, especially during a pandemic. And then the websites are tmcartercompany.com and nextgendriveaway.com. And so make sure that you connect, pick his brain, work with him, and open doors together. You know, we build businesses together, small businesses. And by the way, a small business is 1 to 499 employees. So you could be somewhere in there. Micro business is less than 10 employees. So when we say small business, I want to get you out of thinking the mom and pop kind of thing, and that it's just you and, you know, doing 15 different things. And that's oftentimes, that, you know, for micro businesses, that's happening. But we've got businesses that are much bigger. Teray is definitely on his way, doing great things. Teray, I know that you're working with the city of San Jose and working, you know, with contracts there, and looking forward to working with the state of California at some point as well. So I think what you're doing, you're a great inspiration. I've got a minute to get out of here. Thank you so much for coming on this show, and would love to have you back at some point, maybe next year, post-pandemic. We can do a follow-up show with you as well.
Absolutely, Margaret. I just thank you for having me on the show. You're an inspiration. And I absolutely love what you're doing in terms of feeding our community and different people of the knowledge and intricacies to help everyone get better. It's all about being together. And the more unified we are, the better off we are to enjoy life. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome anytime. So we'll circle back post-pandemic and we'll see where you're at next year. Thank you again for tuning in. Again, be good to someone out there. Make sure that you're eating plenty of holiday great food, whether it's pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie or whatever it is, and be safe with one another out there. And let's get through this pandemic together and keep people safe. You're listening to Margaret Jackson on AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge. And Bay Area's, we are Bay Area's business and finance leader.